So there was a florist over on the corner of Lyle and Lake Avenue, next to the donut shop. And they had a mechanical Santa.
Do you know how Dave knows where every donut shop in town is?
Sure. That was the only one back in my day, was that one right there.
And he put his new office, you know, just a few hundred yards from a donut
from
shop.
Donut Delight, hey. But anyway, it was Christmas time, and my mom didn't have time to get my brother to tell him what Santa wanted. So she takes him down to this florist shop. And no lie, here's this Santa, mechanical Santa that sort of turns and waves his hand. She rolls down the window and says, Kevin, tell Santa what you want for Christmas.
Nice.
Totally
very
ruined
nice.
My whole brother's image just there.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that.
Oh, Santa. I don't know. He just kept waving at
not
me.
Not just some guy in the mall. Now it's a plastic thing on the side of the road.
Santa's helpers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Santa's helpers. I was one of Santa's helpers. At Sibley's, in point of fact.
My uncle used to be Santa there.
Santa's helper.
I remember.
No, he was
Santa's helper.
I remember one year they had a woman playing Santa's helper.
Santa has many helpers.
Santa has, but dressed up as Santa.
Well, yes. Santa's helpers dress up
as Santa. So Mrs. Santa has to go out sometimes, too, apparently.
Apparently she does. It happens. These things happen. Anyway, let's get to the news, and we'll start with Steve.
Halloween was last week. Why are we talking about Christmas?
Because you dress up.
What are you talking about?
Santa's helpers.
I don't know. I don't think we should be talking about Christmas yet.
Okay, what would you like to talk
about?
I got to
start Christmas shopping.
I mean, you're not
you
even
should
done
start
yet?
Christmas shopping.
I know people
now.
That are done already.
Yeah, I hate those.
Oh, it's please. I know people who are done in like August.
Yeah.
You know, there's something sick about that. If you're not out on Christmas Eve desperately hoping to find anything on a shelf anywhere, you're not a real shopper.
Which gas station is still open?
That's when the best sales are, though, is on Christmas Eve.
Honey, yeah. I brought you a Hess truck.
No, actually, you got to buy those this week or you won't get one.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right, let's go to the news.
Let's go to the news.
At least we dig.
Apple's senior director for product marketing for QuickTime and graphics, Frank Casanova, laid out Apple's strategy in the cellular market for mobile communications.
Let's talk to Frank Casanova about the nag screen that comes up every time you start QuickTime. All right, never mind. Go ahead.
It's every time in that session. You can continue past it and ignore it, or you buy the Pro.
It's still a nag screen.
Still a nag screen. Yeah. And it's actually confusing to people when they update QuickTime. The QuickTime updater asks them for their registration number. The
right.
next paragraph says, if you don't have one, just hit continue, but no one ever reads that next paragraph. We get calls all the time. What's my registration number? Whatever it was when you bought it. What do you mean by it? Well, this QuickTime Pro, it says if you bought it, put your number in. It says if you don't have one, just hit continue.
And it won't be Pro anymore.
It wasn't Pro to begin with.
Right.
If you never bought the Pro version.
Right.
Actually, the Pro version is good for saving movies off the internet if you like to keep the trailers.
Right.
Which is about the only reason I use Pro. So anyway, at the CTIA conference in California, apparently all the mobile communication companies were there. They're talking about rolling out high-speed data networks, spread spectrum wireless. So you don't have to be within the 150-foot radius of a wireless connection, so you'll be able to blanket cities better. Real and Microsoft are making portable versions of their media software, so you can play it on cell phones. QuickTime already has the 3GPP protocols built in, so you can watch QuickTime movies on your cell phone. Motorola has announced that they're going to be using iTunes Music Store in future Motorola phones, so you can download and play your music in your cell phone. So we're seeing more of a convergence in the cell phone industry, portable music industry, and different players. And one of the annoyances this week for people that don't like to upgrade to the latest versions, Apple has announced that you'll need iTunes 4.5 or later to purchase music from the iTunes Music Store. Version 4.2 and lower will no longer be able to purchase it. Since the current version is 4.7, you can usually, you know, people don't like upgrade to the current version, but one version behind is okay. So Apple is giving you two versions behind in order to still buy your music. Let's see, one of the other interesting announcements this week is that a London-based MI2G intelligence unit, a playoff on MI5 and MI6, reported that OS X's and the Berkeley System Unix are the world's safest and most secure online computing environment. And what was interesting is they said Linux operating systems offer the worst track record. So Linux is, which is based on Unix, doesn't make too much sense that Linux would be worse than Unix. But if you want to run a secure server for secure connections, you're better off with Mac OS X or straight BSD Unix.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back. This is Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we're back to the news, and now I believe we're on to Dave.
Okay, a few things very quickly. One, the first spammer has been sentenced. A brother and sister team in Virginia. The brother wound up getting 9 years in prison, and the sister wound up getting fined $7,500. According to the indictment, the spammer sent in 2003 between July 11th and August 9th, anywhere to over 10,000 spam messages during a 24-hour period.
10,000 a day is pretty low, actually.
Well, so, you know, they got them caught.
They must have been doing it manually.
Well, still not.
I mean, which is how they got caught.
Yeah.
Still not. They got caught, and now they're starting to clamp down on them. Intel says that the Pentium 4 is ready to tap out at 3.8 gigahertz on November 15th. They're going to be releasing this new chip. It's going to have 3.8 gigahertz with 1 meg of level 2 cache. Toshiba also came out and said, oops, we got a problem with a few of our notebooks, like 650,000 of them, maybe.
Is that all?
Yeah. You definitely, if you're getting, what happens is when you boot the machine up, and it's warming up, it goes from a sleep mode and then can cause a blue screen, locking the PC up, and data corruption. Well, if you're experiencing that with your laptop, there's a whole list of machines covered.
That's pretty common in any Windows machine, isn't it?
Well, this is mainly the model, you know, there's a bunch of models here, too numerous to mention.
3500M, right? One of them, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But anyways, you might want to go and check it if you're experiencing it where, you know, if it's coming out of sleep mode and it's getting the blue screen and locking up on you, definitely want to give Toshiba a call. The other neat thing is HP on the other side, though, is releasing a new notebook. It's a little pricey. I mean, $2,999 right now. But it's going to come with a 17-inch screen and built-in TV tuner and Intel Pentium M processor.
So it's going to be a media center.
Yeah.
And 200.
So and that's where Intel says that they're going to go next. Now that the Intel Pentium 4 chips have topped out, they're looking at really broadening the horizons on these M chips, which is going to be the next iteration.
And $300 more than Apple's 17-inch laptop.
Sure, but you don't get the TV tuner.
Yeah.
Which is $100.
Which is only $100. So you're only paying $200 more.
So, yeah.
See, it's better than you thought.
Better than you thought,
that's
yep.
What's in it.
That's not bad. Big week for Mozilla. The folks, there was a little survey out that says Mozilla's browser, Microsoft's browser is continuing to lose market share as more users switch to Mozilla. Now, Microsoft still dominates the web browser space with Internet Explorer, but they're losing market share to open source rival Mozilla.
We must be getting out to that many people.
It's exactly right. We're getting out to all these people. There's a couple of reasons for that. Obviously, the high-profile security vulnerabilities in Internet Explorer, experts recommending people to switch, and Mozilla, Netscape, and Firefox, which are really all the same product, held 6% of the market in the end of October, up from 3.5% in June, almost doubling, which is not really a fast drop for Internet Explorer, but certainly a fast gain for Mozilla. And any drop angers Bill Gates, specifically. Firefox is their standalone browser. It's a really hot product. That's one big thing for them. The second big thing for them is the new version of Thunderbird. Thunderbird is their email suite. The 0.9 release is out now, and 1.0 is right around the corner. 0.9 adds saved search folders. If you create a search, you can save that search and rerun it again later. Message grouping. There are some bug fixes, of course. Other minor improvements, like privacy controls that block remote content and email messages. It's getting to be the safest email program around. That's Thunderbird. You might want to take a look at that. That's the Mozilla folks. Microsoft has had a bounty out on virus writers for a while, and even despite the folks who were captured, They haven't done much. They've offered Microsoft has offered $1 million to informants who help close official investigations into four separate viruses and worms. Another $4 million earmarked for future rewards. But you know what? Nobody's really calling.
For $1 million, I might turn myself in.
Sure, sure. Why not?
Spend a few years in some cushy white collar prison.
Well, it's only $250,000 a piece. It's MS Blaster, Sasser, Solbig, and MyDoom are each $250,000 a piece. So if you happen to know the person who wrote those, you and I can split the reward.
All right.
I don't know how I got involved in that, except that the money's good. Speaking of vulnerabilities in IE, there's a new phishing attack, which is a fake email thing. This one is called cityfraud.a.
I'm getting a lot of those.
Yeah. It's a web page or an HTML email that purports to come from Citibank, and when you go to it, you get through a well-known hole in Internet Explorer, you get a virus.
It's a fairly well-written email because it looks pretty real. You have to go into the geeky Internet headers to see it isn't Citibank.
Right. There are a couple of others. There's another one called JS. There's a couple of others. Exploiting ActiveX vulnerabilities. There's really about a half a dozen of them. So, again, if you're still using Internet Explorer, you haven't been paying attention.
So if you get an email purporting to be from Citibank or from eBay or Bank of America, all these other companies have been targeted, don't click on the email. Go to their website directly and see if the information is real or not, because all these click-throughs in the email will take you to fake sites that steal your accounts and passwords. You know, I don't have a Citibank account, so I know it's fake.
Right, right. And on the 4th, just 3 days ago, yet another exploit came out for IE. This one is only fixable if you upgrade to Service Pack 2. So those of you who are not planning to do that or are not running XP, it's time to download Firefox. And Hollywood, God bless Hollywood. They're not making enough money, so they're about to hit the net pirates next. You know how the Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA, is out for the radio pirate, the music pirates. The MPA, the Motion Picture Association of America, is now going out after the net pirates. It's an interesting thing. Unlike the RIA, which is losing money hand over fist, they say because of net pirates. Other people say because the music is nothing but junk these days. The MPAA is actually making money. More people went to the movies last year than the year before, than the year before, than the year before. Yeah. So they're making money hand over fist. Apparently, they're just not making enough of it. They can't make the claim. The RIAA is saying that the reason they're not selling music is because people are stealing it. Apparently, the MPAA can't make that claim since they're making more money than ever before.
So they're making the basic claim that somebody's stealing it to begin with, and that's bad.
Right, just to say, right, which is not wrong. Obviously, right. If you're stealing, you're stealing. There's no question of that. But it's a different
thing.
Yeah,
if you can prove monetary loss, you can sue for triple damages.
Right, exactly, which they can't do in this particular case.
The fact that it's being stolen at all is bad. I once looked at one of the pirate sites just to see what was there. You can download movies before they're actually in the theaters.
Right.
But even with Roadrunner, it takes hours to download a movie.
And often the quality is not that good.
Yeah, some guy holding a camcorder in front of
it.
And I've heard
theater.
Of theaters are using night vision goggles now to make sure people aren't using camcorders or even cell phones to record the movie.
And do you remember the Poltergeist movies?
Yeah.
That poor sad little girl who died at the age of 12, the one who was sitting in front of the TV and going, they're back. Yeah. Well, now when you look inside your television, you'll see Microsoft. They're starting a new Microsoft TV, which is going to be pretty interesting. They're making a deal with Comcast to do that. We're going to take another break back in just
24 hours a day.
Exactly. Back in just a few minutes
talk
with Dave Enright,
Steve
Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
That you can understand. Now back to Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this, indeed, is Sound Bites. Before we get to the phones, I just want to remind you that we're giving away some software today. So we have actually two questions. We have two questions because we're going to have two winners. We're giving away a copy of Zone Alarm Suite, which is very cool,
Ooh.
And also the AdAware Suite. You'll be hearing about both of those later on in the show. But we have two questions. Man, you're just digging them up, aren't you?
Yeah,
good. Holy cow. All right. Which company was the first to manure? Nice. Which was the first company to manufacture hard disks for microcomputers? That's one of the two questions. And let's let that be our anonymizer question.
Well, why don't you let the person...
No, because that's not fair. That's our anonymizer question. Okay. Well, what company was the first to manufacture hard disks for microcomputers? And the zone alarm question is, who is Mitch Kapoor? Who is Mitch Kapoor? You do...
I love you.
Folks, it's not the sound effect. It's the look on Rob's face. There's a certain childlike glee on his face when he finds a cool thing to play that is well worth waiting for the music. All right, we're going to go to the phones now. I want to apologize to everybody. We still don't have an internet connection. They did pay their bill. It's just there's a drop problem. It'll be fixed by next week, I'm sure. We're going to go to the phones now. We're going to go to the phones now and talk to Russell from Wayland. Welcome, Russell. What's your question?
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. First of all, I'm running Windows 98.
Okay.
I switched to Mozilla Thunderbird and
good
Firefox.
Good for you.
Yeah. The only thing is I'm having a problem getting my mail out of Thunderbird. The other day I installed Norton 2005, the antivirus. And since then, I've had a problem. I get a message when I go to get my mail. Sending a password did not succeed.
Right.
Mail server POP3.
Right. The problem is not in Mozilla. The problem is in the firewall in your Norton setup.
Well, what I've also seen it do is in Norton, when you put that in, what it does is it changes your POP3. Your incoming mail.
Right.
And it routes it first through Norton, then down to you.
So it can clean your messages before you see them in your mailbox.
Right. So if you don't want that feature, you can just go back into your internet, where you set your POP settings and change that back to, if you've got Roadrunner or DSL, you know, depending on which one.
What it originally was.
Right.
To where it should be.
Yeah, Norton will scan both incoming and outgoing messages. And what version of Norton did you get?
The 2005.
And yeah, that was a bigger problem in the earlier versions where it would change your server to localhost. But in later versions, they supposedly fixed that issue. So it's on Symantec's website, and of course we don't have internet here to tell you what it is. On Symantec's website, there's a fix in order to tell Norton to still scan your messages for viruses, but allow your email program to work. Basically, the problem is Norton assumes you have Outlook Express, and so it sets itself up for Outlook Express.
Right.
And when you don't, you have to change something manually.
Okay. But well, I have gone in and changed the settings, the in and the out, for the server.
Right.
Right,
and
but
I
Norton
have,
changes
and I
it
have
back.
Also uninstalled Norton to see if that would work. And I'm still getting the same message.
Yeah, but 10-1 odds, even though you'll uninstall it, check your POP server and your SMTP server settings.
Okay.
Yeah, Norton.
Because Norton was notorious for changing those.
It may have left something behind.
Yeah, just because you uninstall the program, it's not smart enough to go back in there and change that back. Matter of fact, if you were courageous and know how to get around in regedit, and did a search on Norton, even though you uninstalled it, the number of incidences you'd still find in your registry with Norton still there
would frighten you.
I'm sure it probably would.
You get carpal tunnel trying to delete them by manual.
Anyway, give that a try and let us know.
Okay, well, like I said, I did go in and change the in and the out settings.
Are they still that way?
And they are. I'm still getting.
And what are you running for a firewall?
For a firewall?
Yes.
Actually, I'm coming through a router. And I had Norton, I think it was 2001 at one time, but right now there's nothing.
Yeah, but like I said, Norton also sets up a firewall, so even if you change your stuff back, if you're going through, if it's not going through the Norton system again, it could be getting blocked. So give that a try, change those two settings and let us know. We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call in, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
You've heard us talk a lot about Zone Alarm as part of the security tango. What you may not know is that the Zone Alarm folk have a whole Zone Alarm security suite, and you can find it now at StopHackersNow.com. It's just one easy-to-use program that protects you with a firewall, antivirus, ID lock, website filtering, and email and instant messaging protection. Stop hackers who are trying to steal your passwords, even your identity. Automatically block viruses and worms attempting to invade your computer. Shield your private information with a unique ID vault that keeps your passwords and finances safe and sound. Web filtering to block offensive content from your children and encrypt their instant messages from chat room stalkers. If you've got a family or you value your privacy online, you owe it to yourself to visit StopHackersNow.com. Select Nick in the drop-down menu to get $30 off the list price of $69.95. Download it for just $39.95. That's StopHackersNow.com. Enter my name, Nick. Get a $70 package for $39.95. StopHackersNow.com.
The date.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Remember, we have the trivia challenge in effect. We're giving away a copy of Anonymizer if you can tell me which company was the first to manufacture hard disk for microcomputers. And we're giving away a copy of the Zone Alarm Suite if you can tell me who Mitch Kapoor is. Our next caller is Greg on a cell phone. Welcome, Greg. What's your question? Greg, are you there? Hello? Greg? Greg,
hello.
Are you there?
There we are.
Hi,
can
yeah,
you hear me
you
now? What's your question, Greg?
Okay, my question is... I am trying to send a document, like an Excel document or a Word document, to my CDR on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I do it, it says from Excel pops up and it says, incorrect function, you do not have access to my folder EC, my administrator. Now, my thing is, I'm the only person on this computer and I am the administrator. And I'm in administrative mode.
You can't necessarily send a file to a CDR. It has to be open for either packet writing mode or you have to use an authoring program like CD Creator.
So I can't just burn...
What operating system are you running?
XP.
Yeah.
Well, packet writing should be installed by default. Can you open my computer and drag files onto the E drive?
No, has the same thing come up.
Then it's not set up properly for random writing, which is called packet writing.
And if you
writing.
Got a CD burner, it should have come with a program like Nero... Or one of those that you could, or Easy Creator, just quick, you know, drag it on there and burn it.
There's two basic ways to make a CD. One is packet writing, where you just drag files onto the E icon, or whatever the icon is for your CD.
Right.
And that software, either the XP packet software built in, or Adaptex Direct CD, which comes with Easy CD Creator. Or you use an authoring program like CD Creator or Nero, where you tell it all, here's all the files I want to burn, now go ahead and burn it.
Yep.
And
now,
both of
you
those
have to have a CDRW
up.
To use packet writing?
No.
No.
Well, the software sort of fakes it, where it will author the CDR for you, and then you say, write these files to disk.
And then you can still keep writing.
It basically fakes a temp drive. It creates its own temporary drive, and then when you say burn, it does the actual burning.
Now, I've dragged files and burned before. The only thing that I've done different since the last time I've sent something to a CD is my Service Pack 2.
There you go.
Now, then that's what I was getting to, was is that the problem?
Most likely.
You may need.
Because then my second thing was I've uninstalled my Service Pack 2 and I'm still having the same issue.
Yeah, but even though you uninstall it, there's other patches that are put in there.
Right.
It doesn't,
that don't get uninstalled. Like I say, look and see if you've got Easy Creator or Nero.
Okay.
And that's a lot easier. You have more control. You can set up projects to burn stuff periodically.
And whatever burning software you probably already had with the burner likely needs updated for Service Pack 2.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
All right.
All right, I'll check it out, guys. Thanks very much.
Let us know.
Thanks. Our next caller, Kurt, also on a cell phone. Welcome, Kurt. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a running Windows XP, and I have a Palm 3.
Right.
It's about, I think, 3 years old or so.
Yep.
Whenever I either reboot through XP or if there's a power failure, but I forget to close the program, the Palm program.
Right.
Sync program?
The Palm desktop itself or the Hot Sync program?
Yeah, on the desktop itself.
Okay.
With my schedule, when I bring the computer back and I try and open it, it tells me it can't open it.
Right. And the reason is that when there is a problem with shutting down correctly,
mm-hmm.
open programs do not get closed. Sometimes that's not a big deal. But often open programs are not correctly synced. In other words, your system, when you write a file to a disk, it
yep.
doesn't write it right away. It puts it in memory, and then at some point when you're not doing much, it writes it to the hard drive. If in between saving it to memory and putting it out on the hard drive there's a disk failure, then that file is no longer in sync, and it knows that because there are flags that it sets in the file to tell it it's in sync or not.
Well, I hit the save button every once in a while.
Well, that's good, but the problem is it's still open on your desktop.
Yeah.
And so the fact that it's still open, it tells the system, it tells the software, I'm still open, I'm not ready, I'm not closed, I'm still open. And so if it dies, when it comes back up, the software looks at it and says, oh, wait, you died open, so something's not right.
Theoretically, the shutdown command should tell the program to close and save normally.
Right.
It should, but it often doesn't.
Yeah, but if it locks up,
then... Well, where does it save it to? Because if I do a hot sync... Mm-hmm. It'll bring up the address book isn't affected, but it'll bring up the schedule, but it'll be completely blank. I've lost everything.
Even after a hot sync?
Even after a hot sync.
Okay.
And then half the time it wipes out my the Palm itself.
Right. What you need to do is this. When you have a crash, take your Palm out of the cradle. In the sync software, in the setup for the sync software, if you right-click on it and select, I forget, properties or whatever, there are three ways you can sync up to the Palm. One is that the computer overwrites the Palm.
Which is apparently
two
what it's
is
meant
the
to.
Palm yeah. overwrites the computer. And three is just write them back and forth, and if there's a conflict, I'll deal with it later.
Okay.
What it's set for normally is computer overwrites the Palm. Obviously, if the computer is blank, it's going to kill the Palm.
Yeah.
So what you want to do when there is that kind of a problem is before you sync up again, before you put the Palm in its cradle, change that to Palm overwrites computer.
Or the third one, which should just synchronize
which
everything back and forth.
Synchronizes everything back and forth.
That takes a little longer, but
yeah,
it's safest.
But it's safer,
it's
yeah.
safest. And in fact, back when I had a Palm, I used that all the time that way.
The
two sync each other up, and I deal with the problems.
When I've been hitting the save button, where does it save it to? Because I think it's a DBA format.
Yeah.
And when I search for DBA format, I can find two files, and they're both blank.
Well, that's what's happened. They were both open when the computer crashed or shut down improperly, and so they are both zero length. That's what an open file means. And that's the problem. It's not that they aren't being saved, that you're in the wrong place. It's just that because they died open, they have no length. So we have to take a break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller, Mary from Greece, New York. Welcome, Mary. What's your question?
My question is, a lot of us lucky people go away for the winter, and we were wondering if it's possible to rent a laptop for like 3 or 4 months.
Possible, but expensive.
Yeah.
Laptops generally go for about $100 a week.
Yeah, leasing companies will do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it probably is cheaper to buy one than
yeah,
to lease
right.
one for 4 months.
Okay.
if you do the math, it comes out pretty close to even.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
A lot of times you can.
In which case, I'd be glad to rent you a couple.
Yeah, yeah, right. So would everybody up here. Okay, I would like to do the trivia, please.
That's okay, which one? You only get to pick one.
Rick. He perfected emails.
Rick?
Mitch
Kapoor?
Yeah.
Nope, sorry. Good try, though.
Okay.
Excellent try, Mary. Thanks anyway.
But what you can also do, and for anyone that travels frequently and you don't have your own laptop, a lot of times you can go into coffee shops and bookstores, and many of those will rent laptops for an hour or whatever.
Yep. Internet cafes are still around.
Internet cafes. Public libraries often have machines you can use just to check your mail and do what you like.
Right.
Don't visit anyone that doesn't have their own computer.
Well, exactly. Right? That's good. Although she's probably going to her own place.
Her own place, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you have your own place, you can buy a desktop to just leave there if it's your own place.
Yep.
And that would probably be a lot cheaper than a laptop. Anyway, the trivia questions, let me remind you, if you want a copy of Anonymizer, tell me which company was the first to manufacture a hard disk for microcomputers. If you want a copy of Zone Alarm, tell me who Mitch Kapoor is. Our next caller is Pat. From Rochester, New York. Welcome, Pat. What's your question?
Good morning. Quick question. I got a bunch of old components from my computers from bygone days, and I don't know where to get rid of them or how to dispose of them. Can you help me on that one?
Just go to our website, and over on the right-hand side, it says, where can I donate my computers?
If it's actual working computers, you can usually donate them. If they're just broken parts, you need to find a hazardous waste reclamation facility.
Well, that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
Is there a number or
Rochester Recycling?
You can call Rochester Recycling. I think Computer Renaissance also has waste facilities. It's usually about 10 or 20 bucks a pallet for them to haul away hazardous waste.
Okay. I'll give them a call. Thanks.
Okay,
thank you. And that's right, folks. You're not supposed to throw this stuff away because the chemicals they use to make these things are just incredibly potent and incredibly harmful. Although there are new, they just made Blu-ray CDs, the new version of CDs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The substrate is corn.
Cool.
Corn. So they will be biodegradable. Of course, they're covered with half an inch of plastic. I don't know how biodegradable they actually end up being.
I liked when some of the companies started using cornstarch packing peanuts instead of the foam.
Right.
You open the box, it smells like Cheerios, and it basically was.
Basically
and
was.
They were edible.
Exactly. Our next caller is Bert from Palmyra. Welcome, Bert. What's your question?
Oh, just wanted to take a shot at the trivia.
Oh, which one?
Mitch Kapoor.
Yes.
Created the Lotus 1-2-3 spreadsheet.
Yes. Absolutely correct, Bert. Well done. Stay on the line, and Rob will take your information. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Lotus 1-2-3 was essentially VisiCalc for the IBM PC. When the folks who created VisiCalc, the eponymous VisiCalc Corporation.
On the Apple II. Mm-hmm.
On the Apple II, it was the number one business program in the world.
Millions of people bought Apple IIs
to run VisiCalc.
Yep.
They had no interest in moving it over to the IBM PC because they didn't think anybody would buy the IBM PC because it was more expensive. Mitch Kapoor said, it's IBM, it's a slam dunk to get it into businesses. So he wrote Lotus 1-2-3, which was basic. If you knew how to run VisiCalc, trust me, you knew how to run Lotus 1-2-3. And it became the biggest selling program of all time.
I remember for years writing 1-2-3 macros and slash M, F, and
absolutely. I remember that. I had a guy come in. I was working at Chase once. And this guy came in and said, do you know Lotus 1-2-3 macros? I said, yeah, I do. He said, I want you to take a look at a macro and see if you can figure out what's wrong with it because I got a problem. It won't run. And I thought, all right, let me take a look at it. He lays out a sheet, because in those days it was all off of dot matrix printer, so you had the fanfold paper.
Aid, yeah.
He laid out about 8 feet of paper that was all one macro. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you kidding? And as I looked at it, I noticed that I had this exact same problem the day before. A comma was an enter, do this. And there's a spot where you have to have a comma after a print something. I don't remember it all now. But you had to have a comma there. And I saw that there wasn't one. So I just went, as he laid it down, the paper hadn't even hit the table. I said, you need a comma there. And I walked away. He calls me back about 5 minutes later and said, that was incredible.
How else are you supposed to keep your reputation as a miracle worker?
Exactly. Sheer unadulterated luck.
You have to touch the paper.
Exactly. I didn't even have to touch it. We're going to take a quick break, but if you're on the line, please hang on, because on the other side of the news, you're going to hear a whole lot more sound bites with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, I want to tell you a little bit about what goes on our website. That's soundbites.org. Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll can't be found. How interesting is that? I don't know what we did. We don't have internet access, so I don't have a clue what we did last week. This week's poll, on the other hand, is how often do you back up? Once a day, once a week, once a month, once I'm reminded, thanks. Once and back up, I'm going commando. So far we have 57 votes, and the leader is back up, I'm going commando.
Oh, I love those folks.
You got it. Yes, you do, because eventually they come to you
find this for me.
Mm-hmm.
Help me.
I always tell, because students do this a lot, my only copy of my thesis is on this floppy disk, and it's done. And I said, let me get this straight. You didn't think enough of your thesis to buy a $1 floppy disk, but I can take 4 hours of my time to resurrect it.
Yep.
If I got that straight?
All right.
Yeah, you do.
All it takes is one good crash to start a backup methodology.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, absolutely.
In fact, we're seeing now, the big question was always, what do you back up onto?
Mm-hmm.
And for casual files, you know, floppy was always the big thing. But now casual files are getting so big that even CDs aren't big enough to back up, and you need several CDs.
Or go to a DVD.
Right. Well, DVD's only 4 gigs. So what we're seeing a lot of now is hard drives. You know, for $100 or so, you can get an 80 gigabyte external hard drive, back up everything onto it. They're physically small enough to then put in your Fire Safe. And you don't have to worry about what do I back up, you know, what do I not back up. It just backs up everything. Especially now with digital photos being so big, everyone's got thousands of photos on their hard drive now, and they're not in the camera anymore. So, you know, backing up, you got to remember what you're going to lose.
Well, that's exactly right. And one of the things that I do, of course, I have the luxury of having my own website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com.
No!
Thank you. And I back everything up to there. I do it over the internet, and it's an automatic thing. It happens every morning, whether I like it or not, and everything I do gets backed up. So I've got it somewhere in a server in Las Vegas, which I've yet to. Oh no, wait! Soundbites is in Las Vegas.
Is it?
We have to visit.
We have to go to Comdex.
We have to visit it, and my Ask Nick is somewhere in Philadelphia or something. I don't know. Anyway, after you're done with the poll, then below it you'll see a little yellow box that leads you to my website, AskNick.com. Here we go again. That's AskNick.com. Thank you. And you can put in your opinion on the poll because we know that just voting in the poll isn't enough for you people. You have to also have an opinion. So once you're done with voting, go over to my website and feel free to take a look around at my website. We've got a dozen people who've already given their opinions, and actually, some of them even have something to do with the opinion, which is a lot less than last week, believe me. And then come back to our website and check out the forums and all the other very cool stuff that goes around. We do have some of the best people in town on our website. I haven't been there in a while because I've had papers. I've had a lot of projects due at school, so... But I'll be back in shortly.
Both
myself.
Writing and grading,
and then we had our accreditation agency in, and it was just an interesting. It's been an interesting time, but everything is seems to be smoothing out nicely. We'll go back to the phones now, and our current caller, Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Good afternoon, guys. First, I'd like to take a chance at the trivia.
Oh, here we go for the
go.
Wait, he hasn't
premature
even...
buzzing there, Rob.
Yes, yes. Holy cow. Wow.
Boy.
Wowie.
All right.
All right, so for a copy of the Anonymizer Suite, which company was the first to manufacture hard disks for microcomputers?
Was it Shugart Technology?
It was not.
It was not.
Now you can hit the buzzer, but thank you anyway.
Okay. All right, well, I have a question also about firewalls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently running DSL, and I have a D-Link broadband router with a hardware firewall built-in.
Sure.
And also have the free addition of FireAR zone alarm on my computer.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I'm running SP2, so I have a fire alarm there, and my MSI Neo Platinum motherboard has a built-in firewall, firewall. So how, basically, what
pick
should
one.
I use? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You don't need the motherboard one.
Okay.
You only need one. And let me suggest that if you have more than one computer on your network, mm-hmm. use the one built into your router.
Mm-hmm.
That
okay.
way, all your machines are protected at one spot at one time before anything else happens.
Okay.
The one thing that that makes especially Zone Alarm nice is it also blocks outgoing connections,
mm-hmm.
Right. where the router, the firewall on your router only blocks incoming.
Right.
Although... more novice users get confused by all the messages that pop up from Zone Alarm. Every time you open an internet program, Zone Alarm will ask if you should allow it. So you have to allow your web browser, allow your email program. And there's a lot of little things in Windows. The Windows Update service, you know, wants to get to the internet.
Mm-hmm. So or updates to Zone Alarm.
If you accidentally tell, for example, MSIMN, which is Outlook, Internet Mail and News, to not have access to the internet, your email stops. So it's nice that it allows you to block outbound connections, but you sort of have to know a little more what you're doing so you don't block one you want.
Right. So as I was saying, it's much easier to do it at your firewall, but it's your a product like Zone Alarm lets you fine-tune exactly how safe each machine is. Zone Alarm, a great product, and it certainly doesn't take up a lot of CPU cycles like some of the other firewalls do. So it's a nice thing if what you're looking for is the double protection of ingoing and outgoing.
Yep.
Right. That's why I'm using both. That's
there
right.
There you go.
Right, well, gentlemen.
No, Zone Alarm does both. It does ingoing and outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
Okie doke.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Our next caller, Kate, from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Kate. What's your question?
Hi, how you doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Oh, great, thanks. Can I do the quiz real quick?
I don't know, can you?
Yes.
Sorry, I have an 11-year-old. It's a 12-year-old. Ooh, don't hope she's not listening. Go ahead. Which company was the first to manufacture hard disks for microcomputers?
Maxtar?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nice try, though.
Oh, thanks. Okay, I work in a computer center in Rochester,
uh-huh.
and I'm kind of a network administrator,
uh-huh.
but not really that experienced. But I have a 120-gigabyte external hard drive
right.
running on Server 2000.
Right.
And I'd like to install programs for the workstations, the full program, so you don't need the CD to run it on
right.
the workstation.
Mm-hmm.
How do I go about doing that?
It depends on the program.
Yeah. Many of them you can't do that.
Right.
Particularly if it's a game or whatever, you cannot install, usually, unless there's a choice in the menus, you cannot install all of the data files on the hard drive.
Is there software I can get to do that?
Well,
or?
You can do... It depends.
Again, it depends on the program that you're trying to install, because
yeah.
it's not a network version.
Right.
No.
You could tell the system that a folder was a drive.
Right.
So, for example... let's say it's a game. I'm sure it's not because you're a network administrator, but let's pretend it's a game.
Uh-huh.
And you just copy the whole CD to the folder, and then you tell the system that that's the G drive.
Uh-huh.
And then when you go to run the game, you tell it you're running from G.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a couple of issues involved in creating what's called an application server.
Uh-huh.
That some applications have to be installed on a C drive. So if you're trying to run it from a remote computer, it won't work because it has to be on the C drive.
Right, it's got to have the local files there locally.
Right. The
data files can be anywhere on the network.
The application has to know about being an application server and running off of a network.
Okay.
And those types of applications are usually horribly expensive.
And normally, because well, with Windows XP, it's got to have the DLLs and all that on that particular machine, or otherwise you'll get an error message when you start the program.
Right, you can even see that if you have two hard drives on one computer and try to install a program onto your D drive, it's still going to put, you know, a few hundred megs on your C drive because that has to be in the Windows directory.
And then the registry.
And then your Windows registry.
What you might try, and I personally have not tried this.
Okay.
But, and I can't because my computer is not running.
Okay.
It's up. It's still in the bag because there's no Ethernet. What you might try is, you know how you can create map a network drive?
Yeah.
Map a network drive to /// and a path to a folder and see if it actually comes up as a drive.
Oh, okay.
Can't hurt to try.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
And let us know. I would be very interested in hearing that.
Yeah, because I've tried. I got some software that's called Virtual Drive.
Yeah.
That you put on your computer, your standalone workstation, and it works for programs. You know, it automatically copies to the hard drive just for that computer.
Right, right.
Right. And
try that and let me know.
Yeah.
I would be very interested in hearing that. We got to run, I'm afraid. Minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Roy, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
It's the Wham Garden Show.
You know all about spyware. It's out there, and it's tracking your surfing habits. It alters your files. It'll even send your data to other people. You need to get rid of this stuff. Security and privacy on the Internet are so important. I want you to check out the website GetPrivateNow.com. That's where you'll find the Anonymizer Private Surfing 2004 Suite. Three great tools to stop spyware, to clean your system, and to let you surf the web without exposing yourself to fraud. Anonymizer 2004 keeps your computer's address unlisted on the Internet. It has a mail shell anti-spam desktop and a spyware killer. Now, normally, this is going to cost you $90, but because you listen to Soundbites, you get the complete set for just $49.95. Go to www.getprivatenow.com. Enter my name, Nick, to get the special price of $49.95. That's www.getprivatenow.com. You've heard us talk a lot about Zone Alarm as part of the Security Tango. It's a great program, but what you may not know is that the Zone Alarm folk have a whole Zone Alarm security suite. And you can find it now at StopHackersNow.com. Just one easy-to-use program, protects you with a firewall, antivirus, an ID lock, website filtering, and email and instant messaging protection. Stop hackers trying to steal your passwords and your identity. Block viruses and worms that are attempting to invade your computer. Shield your private information with a unique ID vault to keep your passwords and your finances safe and sound. There's even website filtering to block offensive content from your children and encrypt their instant messages from chat room stalkers and more. If you've got a family or you value your own privacy online, you owe it to yourself. Visit StopHackersNow.com. This is a $70 program, but you know what? As a listener of Soundbites, select Nick from the drop-down menu to get $30 off. It's just $39.95 for the entire Zone Alarm suite at StopHackersNow.com.
Answering your computer questions for over 15 years, it's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites.
You happened to mention your daughter.
I did.
And, well, it got me to thinking.
Uh-oh.
Last week,
Don't be thinking about his daughter.
No.
Exactly.
No.
The most frightening words I've ever heard are Steve Ray saying, "I had a thought." But second most is saying, you're saying that got me thinking.
What don't you do with one of your daughters, or your daughter, ever forget?
Her birthday.
Bingo.
Never forget your child's birthday.
That's what I did.
So whose birthday It's different when they're grown adults. Don't forget your grandchildren's birthday now.
All right. Oh, no, you forget your kid's birthday. There is no deeper tapioca you can be in than that.
Your wife's birthday.
Oh, I was really... No, I want to continue living.
The anniversary. I had my anniversary engraved on my ring, so I never forget.
No, I've never forgotten that.
I love you, honey.
But no, I was so busy last Friday, and then finally Sunday, after I got back from the show and that, I'm clearing out some of my stuff from my desk, and there's the note. My daughter Amy's birthday was on Friday.
Uh-oh.
And like a schmuck, Dad forgot. I've never done that in all the years that that poor child's been around.
Well, you know, you're getting older.
And I had to call. I called and I groveled.
Good?
Because, yes, I felt really bad.
Sure, you bought her a car.
The bigger gift.
It's not necessarily a bad thing to forget their birthday if you really grovel. Exactly. Yeah.
But, no, I felt so bad for her. You know, I've never done that. But
you know what? You're getting old.
Yeah. Feel that big.
Yes, you do. And she made sure you felt that big.
So that's just to forewarn you.
Yeah, oh, no, yeah, no, 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 no. See, this is Amelia. Amelia's smart. She starts warning me, like, in January.
Yeah, but no.
3 months early. Yeah,
Dad, my birthday. After they're out of the house. My daughter, my youngest one, has 3 kids.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, right now it's not a problem. As my daughter's approaching, it hurts me to even say this, for teen years. This is going to be her 13th birthday coming up.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, please.
Oh!
Every day I get the countdown. You know,
been there,
it's
done there.
4 months and 11 days,
you
for whatever
the
number.
You got gray hair now?
Oh, please. I hardly have any hair, but what I have is gray.
Haven't you written her a countdown clock for her website?
Yeah. Well, what a great idea.
Hours, minutes, seconds until
sure.
She's a teenager.
Sure. All right, listen, we're going to go back to the phones, but before we do, let me remind you, we gave away a copy of Zone Alarm, but we're more than delighted to also give away a copy of Anonymizer. And all you have to do to get it is tell us which company was the first to manufacture hard disks for microcomputers. And Dave has a website of the week.
Yeah, this one is really cool. With the holiday, Rob was wondering before how we got into talking about Christmas and all this other stuff. Well, as I was surfing on the web, I happened to come across this one site, and what they do is they create this one product. They're called Food Doodlers. So all you folks that like to get into cooking with the holidays coming up right now, Thanksgiving is just, you know, a few weeks away, and then you're going to get into the, I know some folks right after Thanksgiving start baking cookies, you know, literally boxes and boxes of cookies and everything else. Well, if you go to this website, and we'll put it up, Steve will have to do it after he gets home, but it's sugarcraft.com/catalog/coloring/pens.htm. And what they have is these pens. They're like a felt tip pen type of thing that you can frost your cookies. And then
that frosts my cookies.
Then the kids can sit there with all different colored pens, draw faces or whatever they want to doodle onto a cookie.
Food
to
coloring
personalize it. Yes. Personalize it, and you can also get them for cakes, and they're really not that expensive. So that's why I thought, get it out now, you know, this site, because with the holidays, I can see where this is going to be very popular. Matter of fact, my wife's going to order one for me.
How cool is that?
So I can, with the grandchildren. So that's one tradition I started a long time ago with my grandchildren. So they come over, and Grandpa...
Right on food?
Grandpa baked... No, Grandpa helped... my grandson and granddaughters... Also, help me roll out the Christmas cookie dough.
Oh, sure.
And I let them sit there and cut the cookies out.
Do you actually get any cookies at the end? See, we eat so much dough ahead of time.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
that's usually when I'm making chocolate chip cookies.
Especially.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My granddaughter will always, Papa, let me help you. And she's, you know, or having her put the chocolate chips in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's 2 for the batter, 6 for her mom.
Oh, yeah.
So you definitely
got to buy at least 2 bags.
Yeah. So you definitely want to check that out. We'll have that link up on our website, but it's really a great time for coming up with the holidays that you can have even more creative fun.
Excellent. Sounds great. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Syracuse, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Peachy, how are you?
Hey, if I was any better, I'd be 2 people.
Holy cow.
See? So I can send out a card and say happy birthday from both of us.
That's exactly right.
Anyway, I have something to...
And the other guy will pay.
Yes. I have something to increase your anxiety level a little bit.
Excellent.
Okay.
Because God knows we don't have enough anxiety
in
our lives.
That's right. This will make, Osama seem minuscule.
Sure.
Tried to do some online banking the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I logged in. I'm using Firefox and all mm-hmm. this stuff, you know. And logged in and everything. Went to click on the account I wanted to check, and pop-up comes up and says, you're not logged on. So tried this 8 or 10 times, same answer, called the bank. What's going on? Oh, you can only do this through Internet Explorer.
Uh-huh.
The most unsecure browser.
Exactly.
Yeah, what happens is, in the Microsoft.net
Stuff.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of a polite word. Stuff.
That's about
for
as polite
programming,
as you can
get. The programming language and the whole programming suite. They have a set of routines that you can just drag and drop, so you don't have to actually write anything. Well, that's great, but they all use ActiveX controls, which means you can only use them with Internet Explorer. That wouldn't be a problem if Internet Explorer didn't have so many holes.
Exactly.
And when you're going to some place like, you know, some catalog on the net to buy something, well, that's fine. Make your choice. But for your banking,
yeah.
I personally don't do banking online anymore because it only lets me do it with Internet Explorer.
Exactly.
So I just don't do it. I'm currently looking for a bank. Call me out there if you're if
HSBC.
Canandaigua National, the last local bank.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Fred Smith, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, at 1180 WHAM. Or spyware. It's on your it can be on your computer. You don't know it's there, but it knows what you're doing. It tracks your surfing habits, alters your files, sends your data to other. You need to get rid of this stuff. So check out the website getprivatenow.com. You'll find the Anonymizer Private Surfing Suite 2004. Three great tools to stop spyware, clean your system, and let you surf the web without exposing yourself to fraud. Anonymizer 2004 keeps your computer address unlisted on the Internet. You also get the Mail Shell Anti-Spam Desktop and Spyware Killer. Now, normally this is a $90 value, but because we love you, we're going to give it to you for just $49.95. Go to www.getprivatenow, put in my name, Nick, to get the special price of $49.95. Get Private Now, type in my name, Nick, and get the full suite for only $49.95 at getprivatenow.com.
Sound online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Back to the phones in a second, but let me remind you, we have a trivia contest. We've already given away a copy of Zone Alarm. We're waiting to give away that copy of Anonymizer. Which company was the first to manufacture hard disk for microcomputers? Our next caller is Joe on a cell phone. Hiya, Joe. What's your question?
Doing
good. How are you?
I've got a little problem. I've got a Hewlett-Packard laptop, and the hard drive froze up on me a couple times, running Windows XP, rebooted it, and now what it does when I try and reboot it is the power light flashes on and off, but it won't boot up at all.
Are you on battery power?
No, this is on the adapter.
Mm. Does the screen light up at all?
Can you hear the hard drive spinning up?
I hear the hard drive spin, and then it stops. And it'll start again and stop. Start again and stop.
That's clearly a hardware problem.
Yeah, you
Joe.
Might have a hard drive going on you.
Can
it,
you get?
It sounds like it already went when
now,
the hard drive
well, now,
is going.
Hold on a second.
Boot.
When the thing comes on, does it count up the memory and all of that stuff?
I don't get any screen at all.
Yeah, Toshiba's. They wait. They'll get.
It's
get,
an HP
or an HP. Rather, they'll give you that little cursor up in the corner of the screen. They don't
Nothing.
Need to display much.
You've got a hardware problem there, Joe, as to whether or not it's a hard drive problem or a motherboard problem. You're going to have to get it checked out by somebody. Now, if the thing is still under warranty, then you want to take it to an authorized dealer. If not, then you can bring it to anybody and have them take a look at it. But it's clearly a hardware thing.
Something you might try is connect an external monitor up and see if that works versus the internal. But
the way he's saying, though, it spins up and then goes down, spins back up, that sounds like the hard drive's getting or it's going.
Some
right
component.
On.
Sorry, Joe.
All right.
Hate to be the bearer of bad news. Our next caller.
Especially laptops, which are expensive to fix.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Our next caller is Jim, also on a cell phone. What are you guys just wandering around the city calling in?
Can you hear us now?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Question regarding performance issues when you have a CD drive or a DVD drive single compared to a combo CD-DVD. Is there any performance concerns someone should be aware of before they decide on how they want their computer configured?
Yeah, a standalone CD drive can burn much faster than a combo CD-DVD burner.
Okay, so you're saying if you're going to have a unit, have it separate.
Well, if you intend to be burning a lot of discs, you know, CD burners are up to, what, 52X for burning?
Yeah, 52 by 32 by 52.
Right.
And they're relatively inexpensive.
Right.
Because I just configured a system for a guy, and that's what I put in, a separate CD burner, because they're so cheap. As a matter of fact, they're cheaper than, you know, just buying a plain CD drive.
But it takes an extra bay if you want to have both drives.
And
a
then
DVD
the next
burner,
bay you put the DVD burner.
Right, an 8X DVD burner might only be able to do 24X CD burning.
Right.
So if you're going to be burning a lot of CDs, then you want a separate CD burner.
All right, as opposed to a combo CD-DVD.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
They're perfectly fine. They just, the combo drives are a little slower.
And you want to set them up on separate chains.
Separate chains as well. But the drive you're burning from should be on a different chain than the drive you're burning to.
Yeah, so if you're burning from the CD to the DVD or from the hard disk to the, it gets a little confusing as to how you're going to set things up. Our next caller is Steve from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Matt, question. I've got an eMac. And it suddenly doesn't seem to know that it has any FireWire ports or anything attached to the FireWire. I have an EyeSight camera hooked up to one of them and an external drive, backup drive hooked up to the other. So the EyeSight camera, the little green light, is on.
But when you
try to open it up or something, you know, it doesn't. The computer doesn't know that there's anything hooked up.
Yeah, one thing to check is to go into the system profiler and see if it sees anything on the FireWire bus.
Well, that's what we did, so that's how we know it doesn't see it.
It doesn't even see them. There's a couple of things to try in software first. You can make a new username and see if that works.
Okay.
You can reinstall the operating system and see if that works. Or if you can boot from another CD, you know, boot your system CD and see if it sees the external hard drive to install onto. But it's probably something in the logic board that the FireWire ports have failed.
Great.
Did you install anything else just before you noticed it wasn't working?
No, not that I'm aware of. I mean, if it's on the logic board, what's that mean?
I've replaced the logic board.
Which is... How much?
$500-$600 if it's not under warranty.
Yeah.
So you just get a new computer?
Probably.
probably just as easy, yeah. Our next call, Carl from Williamson, New York. Welcome, Carl. What's your question?
Hi. First, on the trivia.
Yeah.
When you say mini computers, does that include the rack mount type or only desktop?
It's for microcomputers, so it's really going to be desktops.
Okay. I remember the IBM had their PC XT with the... a 10-megabyte hard disk in it.
Yep, but that was manufactured by another company, and what was the name of that company?
I can't tell you that one.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, and a question on Thunderbird.
Yeah.
I switched to one of the low-cost providers, ISPs, a Rochester-based company that I heard about on your show.
Sure.
Saved $15 a month, and it works pretty good.
Good.
And, the question on Thunderbird... is that with my prior email server, I could see the source and the title. There's a subject of all the incoming emails before I downloaded them.
Right.
And I don't seem to be able to do that with Thunderbird. Is that it? Just sort of downloads them and then lists them.
Well, that's if you set it up as a POP, it always downloads the mail to your computer first. If you set up as IMAP, then you can see the messages on the server without downloading them to your computer. But it depends if the provider supports IMAP. Yeah. Some of them only do POP.
Okay. They don't want to cram up their server.
Right.
Yeah. Can I say the name of the provider?
Sure.
Blue Frog?
Sure. Good people.
Yeah.
But I don't know offhand if they do IMAP.
Yeah, I'm afraid you'll have to ask them if they do IMAP. But most of them nowadays prefer you to download the stuff and keep it on your machine, and that would be plain old vanilla POP 3.
Okay. And the last thing was I put together a... computer for our daughter, who's away at college, and it's got a CD RW drive in it, also a DVD reader,
mm-hmm.
and she discovered that she can read DVDs from the CD read-write drive. I didn't know that they would do that.
They have to be a CD reader as well. There are some combo drives like that out there. It sounds like somebody sold you more than you asked for, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Get more for your buck.
All right, thanks. Our next caller is Anne from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Anne. What's your question?
Yes, I actually just wanted to guess the trivia.
Go for it.
Is it Seagate Technology?
It is, in fact, all Seagate right. Technologies. Yay. Well done.
Yay.
The person who said Shugart, I almost gave it to him because Shugart was pretty much the second company, but it is indeed Seagate Technology. So stay on the line, Anne, and we'll get your information, and we'll make sure that that gets to you.
Well, did you have a question?
Shortly. Did you have a question?
Actually, no, I didn't have a question.
Okay. Oh, just wanted the trivia. Excellent.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Excellent.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And they're about one of the only companies left. All the other ones have been gone through mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and that's the other thing. Seagate bought Shugart, but it's not the same thing. Our next caller is Carl from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Carl. What's your question?
Hi, guys. One comment and then a question. ESNL also is an excellent choice for banking. I do it through Opera all the time without any problems at all.
There you go.
And my question is, I'm planning on selling or donating an old computer, and I want to make sure there's no personal information that's still accessible on the hard drive.
What OS is on it?
It's got SE.
Just you can make a bootable disk for Windows 98,
mm-hmm.
and make sure the format command's on there. Just boot with that floppy and just format the drive.
Oh, okay. That'll wipe out all of the upgrades over the years to SE, correct?
Right. So then you'll have to reinstall all that.
Now, I should tell you that there are programs out on the Internet that will go in and find the data on that drive, even if you formatted it. They are not cheap and not in the hands of the average user.
There's also two options. There's a quick format that will just erase your directory and leave the data there. The long format might take a couple hours,
but it'll
will
be the one you want.
Erase the data.
Yeah. Yeah, so the best thing is just to wipe the drive totally then.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Excuse me, I'm just writing anonymizer on Ann's information. We're going to go back to the phones in a little bit. We've got a couple lines open.
No,
it's the end.
Oh, we're done. Of course we're done because there's
Pittsburgh and
a
Philly
game coming up. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everybody who didn't get to, and in fact, people are calling in right at the moment. We're going to be back next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. The old